Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session from Mesa City Council for Thursday, February 20th, 2014. We'd like to excuse Councilmember Scott Summers, who's out of town and unavailable for phone call. First item on the agenda is to review the items for next Monday's regular council meeting. Page 2, items 2 through 3D. Items 3E through 3J. Yeah, Councilmember Richens.
I just make a quick request on, I think at one point we had asked for some kind of business narrative on some of these newer liquor license applications so we can understand what they're doing operationally, and just not seeing a real robust council report on those, it's hard to understand what's going on. So if we could just get a little narrative somehow, and maybe you need to add that to your form so we can understand.
New business.
Like if they're getting a new license. The one that I saw was the Red Owl, because that's typically been part of a nightclub in Tempe, just on the 101 in University. Yes, I do rock.
Yeah. No.
Carrie's looking at me funny. How did you know that? Because I drive down that road, that's all.
Mayor, council members, we thought we had addressed your issue, but we'll get with you and we'll figure out where we're not.
I didn't see it in any of the things attached to the council report.
We'll get that taken care of.
Yeah,
we'll meet
with you. It doesn't need to be long. Just kind of help. Because it said it was like a liquor. It was associated with a liquor store license.
Right.
But the Red Owl's been a nightclub associated with Club Red, and I'm just kind of trying to figure out how all that worked together, and there's just wasn't much information.
Again, we thought we'd taken care of it, but we'll get with you and we'll get
this
in sync.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, that is interesting. A bar is requesting a location transfer of a liquor store license.
Yeah, I just didn't kind of. You want to elaborate on it?
I don't have the detail on that, but I will by Monday.
Okay. Excellent.
Is it a bar or is it a liquor store?
Yeah, because it hasn't been a liquor store in its current location.
And there's probably some nuance in state liquor law that maybe doesn't matter. Maybe that's what they have to do what they want to do, but we don't know that.
Okay.
Thank you. Items 4A and 4B. Items 4C and 4D. Vice Mayor.
I just wanted to point out on 4C, I think this is a great move. Glad to see it happening. This is the handheld mobile recognition devices that the police department will use. You know, we kind of use the phrase force multiplying technology. This is it. I think it's going to save a lot of time and effort, and I'm just glad to see that we're aggressively going after this program and expanding it. So thank you.
Thank you. Items 4E and 4F, 4G and 4H.
Probably shouldn't let 4E go by without saying thank you for
Councilman Richens.
Nice robust report there to kind of better understand what's going on, so I appreciate it.
Okay. 4G and 4H. 4I and 4J. 4K through 4M. 4N through 5B. 5C through 6B, Councilmember Luna.
I was wondering if Mr. Wesley could update us on what's going on with 6B and
C. Mayor, Council, as you recall, this is some property that's been proposed for annexation in the comparable zoning rezoning at the northwest corner of Adobe and Signal Butte. We had a resident to the west come at the introduction raising questions about the Adobe Street as it goes west and not being paved and traffic that would then maybe be added to that road as it goes on over to the school to the west. The applicant has been having some discussion with the neighbors and will continue to follow up with them. They are proposing to put $15,000 in an escrow fund that then the neighbors could use to hire a contractor to put a double slurry seal coat on that road. And they would give them, I think, about 6 months to access those funds if they are able to work out the arrangements with the county and get that done. They've got the contractor lined up who could do it for that amount and are willing to do that to help provide the dust control that the neighbors are needing in that area.
Okay.
And I know that we're planning to meet with Supervisor Steve Pucci to work out some kind of arrangement with the county, so hopefully we can reach some accord and try to work with and provide some kind of solution. And like Mr. Dugas is here as well, so thank you so much for offering that opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Item 6C through 7B and 8A. Yeah, Councilman Richens.
Just to clarify, 7A and 7B, these are being, are these staying on the agenda or are these being continued to March 3rd?
Mayor, Councilmember Richens, with this, we had a slight problem with the notification of this. They were placed on the agenda for Monday, but then there was one item of the notice that wasn't taken care of. So they do need to be on the agenda with moving them to the 14th or to the 3rd for that. So all the notice and everything is clear for the public of when we'll actually take action.
Thank you.
So this is purely procedural.
Yes.
Procedural. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it. Thank you. The next item is to hear presentation discussed by direction regarding amendments to the fiscal year 11, 12, 13, 12, 13, and 13, 14 annual action plans for the home program.
Good morning, Mayor.
Ms. Albright, how are you doing?
I am good.
Good.
Okay, so today what we're going to discuss is we have before you three amendments to annual action plans from the past for the home funds. Basically, the amendments would change from ownership, from a designation of ownership into rental housing, as well as change the home project approval process and determine a designation for prior year unallocated funds or program income. Specifically, 11, 12, and prior, we have several funds available for unallocated or we received from program income. And then in 11, 12, and 12, 13, council actually approved a pot of money specifically for home ownership. But with the closing of the agency who provided that for us, we have not had much of that spent. We have about $440,000 there. And then we also are looking at changing the process, which council had designated the approval process for home projects to the Housing and Community Development Board, and we believe that should come back to council. So far this year, we have already received about $1.4 million in requests to participate in the low-income tax credit projects. So I have a chart here that kind of gives you some details of how much funds, where we could get the funds, and how much we would have. If we took the pots of funds that were designated for home ownership and converted those, minus what has already gone out the door, as well as prior year income and unallocated funds, we would have about 870,000. Next Thursday, you will be hearing the annual action plan, and part of that recommendation is to take all of 14-15 home funds that are not set aside, required set aside, and add that to this pool as well. That would give us $1.3 million to participate in these projects. What the plan is here's kind of a timeline. If you approve us moving forward today, we have to have a public hearing, which we'll do at the board level, and we have to have a 30-day public comment period. And then we will be back in front of you on April 7th with resolutions that will convert those funds. And at that time, we will also have all of the projects laid out for you that we have received so far, the dates they were submitted to us, the clientele they're serving, where they're located, everything. And at that point, council could determine their funding recommendations. And then we could provide more detailed letters for these projects.
Councilman Richens.
I know one of the focus areas for the council has been home ownership. And so, I don't know. And since we haven't had an agency in place to help spend out the ownership funds, what's the plan for building capacity in Mesa to be able to promote more home ownership instead of just rental?
Staff has put together several documents to outline a home ownership. So we're looking at probably around this summer putting an RFP out on the streets, a request for proposal or qualifications, there where we could look for an agency, maybe a local agency combined with a more regional agency, and start to build that capacity. I also actually talked with HUD yesterday, and one of the set-asides we are required in the home funds is for CHOTOs. And the past agency was a CHOTO, which is a community development, I might get this wrong, a community development housing organization, or community housing development organization, or something like that. So if we were to try to build that capacity, and HUD is looking at bringing some training for us, and we could invite all of our local nonprofits as well as anyone else who would want to attend, and it would be a training seminar on what a CHOTO is, how to become one, and so we could start to build the capacity to run a home ownership project for the following year.
Thanks. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I appreciate your recommendations. I think it's a good way to go, and it's interesting or pleasantly surprising that we have that degree of interest from the whole variety of applicants asking us for potential participation. And as I recall, with the state often has deadlines that make it difficult for applicants and cities to jump through all the different hoops. And I'm sure that all of these applicants, if they're looking for participation, they need some sort of indication of some kind of commitment from the city. And I'm just wondering, what would be the nature of any letters that you might be able to do at this point in time, and then contrast with what you could do at a later point in time that would meet the state requirements?
I actually have the State Department looking at a letter for me right now where instead of a firm commitment to any project, we're just outlining the process we're going through and outlining a timeline of when we will have an answer of who we will support and for how much. And we'll get more into the details when we're in front of you with the projects. But one of the issues is sometimes what they ask for isn't what we can give them. The state also only requires 2% of their construction costs to get them the points. Because the tax credits are so low this time, they're at 7.5 instead of 9, a lot of them are looking for some gap financing as well. And that would be up to the board or this council at the time, you know, how much. But HUD does require a subsidy layering review, and that layering review will determine how much we can actually give them. HUD does not allow us to give them more than that review says they need. So somebody could ask for $200,000, but that review would say they only need $150,000. So that's all we would be able to give them.
And so hopefully if the State Housing Department approves of this particular letter, presumably that would, if you are an applicant, that would at least show you've done enough due diligence to meet the state requirements as of that deadline date.
Right.
Because I know that has to be a challenge for all the Valley cities and
yes.
That different the tax credit folks, applicants are applying for around the state, because just given where budget times are and things like that, we don't exactly correlate very well. But I'm hopeful that will be a satisfactory interim measure that at least the state is okay with.
I have talked to him about the substantial amendment. He explained to me, the director, that they are also going through one and that they are working with HUD to try to come up with a letter that is acceptable to them but does not violate any HUD regulations.
Thank you. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you.
Move forward with it.
Direction. Provide direction. So the direction.
I'll move approval of the staff recommendation.
Okay. I have a motion. Second, Councilmember Richens. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 2B, appointments to boards and committees. You have a memo outlining those. We have a motion. Motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh, second Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Information pertaining to current job order contracting projects. Are there any questions from council related to this? All right. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Any reports? Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I just want to report that this past year, the Mesa Chamber of Commerce has been working on forming committees or councils representing different economic areas of the city. And I was able to go speak to the Fiesta Area Chamber Council yesterday to give a report on what's going on there. So it was they meet every week, and so it was gratifying to see the chamber moving ahead. I know this was a proposal that Peter Sterling had made a long time ago, and I'm glad to see that it's moving forward. I think it will be beneficial for business owners and the community. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I didn't go to a meeting, but I was driving down the street on Monday, which the city was closed and it was a holiday, and I was driving down Dobson, headed from one appointment to another, and wondered what was going on at Riverview Park, because the cars were lined up clear around, they were parking in the dirt, they were doing everything, and I'm going, my gosh, is there some special event? No. The park was just packed.
Yeah, okay.
It was open. And I actually had a couple people, because I had to stop, and I couldn't find a place to park, so I do admit, Chief, plug your ears. I did pull up on a sidewalk and park there for a second. Only partially, and only for a moment. Okay. So I could take some pictures of this park that was absolutely just overflowing with people. And the great thing was, of course, the splash pad, the big splash pad was packed. The climbing tower was packed. The great thing, though, is that every table was filled with a family that was spread out, and most of them had lunch or whatever, and they were just really enjoying it. It was just really nice to see that entire park completely packed. Councilor Luna.
I have to echo the same thing. I brought my grandkids are here from New York City, and I took them there Saturday. It was completely packed.
Yeah.
There was hardly any places to park, but the kids really enjoyed themselves there, yeah. Especially that tower.
No, it was great to see that. So it's always fun, and people had their blankets out on the hills and the grass. It was just it was great to see a community enjoying that. I have one other thing that I forgot about. The vice mayor and I participated in a science in the school project, which was a lot of fun. I was at Keller. You were at
Roosevelt.
This is a program sponsored by DuPont, and we got this through the U.S. Conference of Mayors. They come in and they give the kids in the schools a chance to use their inner creativity and also create little things. What they do is they give them a piece of paper, four straws, four lifesavers, and like a pair of scissors and three clips, paper clips. And the idea is, okay, create a car that is wind-powered that they then race. And it's amazing to see those kids take that. First of all, and they have like a half an hour to do it. The first 10 minutes, they just sit there going. And you say, no, you're not supposed to eat the lifesavers. They have holes. They turn into wheels. Oh, what's really fascinating, though, is to see these kids as they progress. And one person at the table, there's several classes. And each class will have like a table with what? Eight people at it, eight students. And one student will sort of figure out how the wheels work with the straws. And then someone will work how to do this. And then you see everyone all of a sudden start to, the light bulb goes on. And before you know it, you have several of these wind-powered machines. And some of them are incredibly nimble, and they work really well. So it was a lot of fun. So I appreciated being able to do that. And I'm sure you had a good time, too.
Enjoying.
That was great. And thank you to DuPont for... and the Mesa Schools for sponsoring such a good thing to get. And the reason for this is to get people, get kids to see how creativity and science technology really isn't something to be afraid of. It's actually fun. And it gets together. It brings those together and lets them know that they can be part of creating something pretty spectacular. That's the purpose of it. We're going to hopefully continue this and do more of it. So thank you for that. Okay, anything else? Councilmember Glover.
I know that a majority of the council had the opportunity to go attend the Mesa Man and Woman of the Year, so to recognize John and Carol for their excellent work in the community.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding us of that. That was great. John Giles and Carol Whitworth. probably two of the more low-key people we've had. It was great. It was really, really good to be able to be there with all the people who make Mesa. And our own council mate was a great recipient of that just last year. So thank you. Anything else? Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we do have a council meeting Monday, February 24th. We'll probably have one item for the study session, so we'll have a little bit earlier start. And then this Saturday, Councilmember Summers is hosting a free pancake breakfast at Station 219, which is located at Signal Butte, about Signal Butte and Elliott, from 8 to 10. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? A motion adjourned, Councilmember Luna, second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.